This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Unashamed of the gospel, standing on the truth of the Bible, and stuffed with a little more turkey than I should have eaten this weekend. Hey, good Monday morning, Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We cover news, we give you opinions. Your job, take everything to Scripture. It is the only source of truth. David, please open us in prayer.
Father, thank you for this season, this Thanksgiving season. I know it's every day of the year. We don't celebrate it just on a Thursday. But we appreciate, Lord, so much your grace, your saving us, your setting us free, our redemption in Christ and the hope of salvation. We thank you for that. We thank you for the freedom we have here in this country that we so often take for granted. We also thank you that you provide everything we need for life and godliness, and you are our provider. Help us to avoid idolatry. Help us to not love money, and help us not to get caught up into the commercialism of this season, but help us to remember one day at a time, Lord, that you are in us, you reign, and you are returning for your bride. We love you and we praise you. We lift up this hour to you. We thank you that we can talk about truth and about things that matter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Well, a little later, we're going to ask this question. Could corrupt judges and media steal the presidential election? Wow. The state of Wisconsin will now formally undergo an official recount of voting in the presidential election, and word is Pennsylvania and Michigan may be close behind. Now, while most analysts see little to no possibility that a recount could overturn the election of Donald Trump, are they discounting a corrupt media and progressive movement too easily? We'll talk about that later, and we'll also look at who the American Family Association says are the most friendly or hostile retail organizations to Christmas. But first, we check in with our good friend from the Religious Freedom Coalition, Bill Murray. Bill, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Great to be on with you, Mike.
Thank you, brother. Hey, let's start off. A lot happening in northern Iraq that may have a really a profound impact on your annual Christmas outreach program there.
Yes, it is. Last year we had 600 children in the Erbil area, actually in Ankawa, at two different camps, 300 children each. And I was really upset because there were 1,800 more kids we weren't able to get to. This year we're going to have 2,400 children there, just in the camps there. They're going to get a real Christmas and a half-day program. But also some of the Christian villages have been liberated. And the Iraqi army has gotten credit, by the way. They didn't do it. The largest Christian town, Karakush, which is north of Mosul, was actually captured by a joint operation of the Syrian militia, which is a Christian militia, and the Peshmerga, which is the Kurdish militia. And that and several other Christian towns are now being guarded by what is called the NPU, or the Nineveh Plains Unit, or Nineveh Protection Unit. Nobody, the media never refers to these fighters at all, because we don't want it known that there are armed Christians there, and that the Christians have finally been allowed to defend themselves. From the time of George Bush, when George Bush went into Iraq, he allowed the Shia to keep armed militias. He allowed the Sunnis to keep armed militias, but he forbade the Christians to have any arms, because he thought that would make us look like crusaders if we armed the Christians. And they were slaughtered, and they have finally armed themselves. And it is making a huge difference, and much of the Nineveh Plain is being taken back from the Islamic State. We are planning on going up to at least Karakush, which is the largest town, providing that there is some power there by the time we get there. It's a very fluid thing. There mortar fire, from my contacts, there can be still heard from downtown. much of the town was destroyed. All of the Christian homes were looted, of course. All of the stores were looted. All of the artifacts in the churches were looted. The churches were desecrated. They were urinated on. Crosses were smashed. Statues were smashed. Graves were dug up in order to rob any jewelry from the dead in Christian cemeteries. There was nothing that wasn't desecrated by the Islamic State or ISIS while they were there. We hope we can get up there and do something, I'm really looking forward to it if we can.
Oh, William, we rarely hear about any of this in the American media. Other than your site, religiousfreedomcoalition.org, are there some other websites you can encourage our listeners or people that want to hear the truth and be praying for our brothers and sisters over there?
There are, and some of them one of the main sites that I look at is the Daily Star, which is an actual newspaper in Lebanon, and it carries a lot of good stories, and they're solid news stories, and they're honest reporting because they're Lebanon based, and they have a lot of good material on. A lot of the other sites, there is a one for Ankawa. There, the Assyrian Church does have a good site too. Some of the sites, of course, that I get information from, you have to be careful. In fact, some of them I can't refer people to because I don't want people to. I don't want responsible to have people see some of the things that I've seen. To be very honest with you, there are a couple of black web sites that I go to in order to view videos of current things that are going on, and there are atrocities on there that actual Christians who have been crucified and things of that nature. But I honestly don't want responsible for having people go there and look at them and then have nightmares.
Okay. Appreciate that. William, I want to go to your website here, religiousfreedomcoalition.org, and I want to quote you on a very provocative statement. Here it goes. President Obama and his pals in the Senate, such as John McCain and Lindsey Graham, have the absurd belief that the Sunni Muslim fighters they arm and train are actually going to carry out the will of a gay-loving, dope-smoking, alcohol-consuming, overeating, feminist-dominated secular nation such as the United States, which they view is the great Satan. Here's a reality check. The Islamic fighters we are arming, training, and paying a monthly salary to hate every aspect of America's secular society, and particularly what Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton stand for. Ouch! Provocative statement, brother.
I don't think it's that provocative. I mean, let's look at the United States. Let's look at what we have here. It is an alcohol-soaked, dope-smoking, gay-loving, overeating society. Mm-hmm. We have an obesity program. Look at the television commercials. And I don't know if I'm sure that a lot of men have noticed this, but it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter, whether what kind of a product it is. They all have one thing in common. There is always a stupid white man being instructed by either a child or a woman on how to either use a product or his stupidity being pointed out in order to sell the product. And that is the entire media. There's never any reference to a son everywhere, anywhere, at any time. It's, what can we do for our daughters? There's a car commercial. There's little girls being carried in it, not little boys. There's an insurance commercial, and the little girl is pointing out to the adult father his misunderstanding of how the insurance works. And we have this overwhelming anti-male, pro-gay, feminist-dominated a culture that is, for the most part, obese. And we think that we're going to hire these radical fighters in order to go out and to take the kind of agenda and culture we have in the United States and defend it. That's insane.
It is indeed. You know, one other thing I want to talk about from your website, William, you talk about the possibility of the United States and NATO eventually fighting ISIS in Syria. Now, given the complexity of things where the Obama administration wants to overthrow Assad, if we're fighting ISIS, are we not supporting Assad?
Well, that is the absurd conclusion of the NSA. First of all, let's ask the question, why are we trying to overthrow Assad? Why are we doing this? What is our reason? Did he attack the United States? Was he responsible for 9/11? Did he threaten terrorist actions in Israel? Was there some kind of threat against our NATO ally, Turkey? Exactly what did President Assad do that made the United States of America, in violation of international law, put our troops down on a sovereign nation and pay rebels in a sovereign nation, mercenary fighters in a sovereign nation, and arm mercenary soldiers in a sovereign nation in order to overthrow him? What exactly did he do to us?
Nothing directly, certainly. William, is it just part of this idiotic Arab Spring movement that Obama and Clinton really supported?
Well, the idea behind the Arab Spring, and there's a very excellent Wall Street Journal. I have it somewhere on my website, but I posted it years ago. It was really an excellent article in the Wall Street Journal, and it explained the whole theory. And this was the Hillary Clinton theory, which she sold to Barack Obama. And I think you'll understand where it came from. It came from Ahmadine, her aide, who is associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. And that was, we will overthrow all the secular governments, including the one in Egypt in the Middle East. We will then replace those governments with Muslim Brotherhood. And since the Muslim Brotherhood is Islamic, but it's moderate Islamism, that will stop the radicals. The radicals will be happy because now you've got Muslim governments, Muslim-dominated governments, the secularists are gone, and the radicals will no longer hate us. This is insanity. The Al-Qaeda doesn't, and the Islamic State and groups like that that are far radical that view absolute kill all the infidels now, they're not going to go along with this. It was an idea and a concept that was flawed from its very outset. What we got involved in at the same time was an ancient war between the Shia and the Sunni, with the Saudis and Qatar wanting to overthrow any government that wasn't a Sunni-dominated monarchy and replace it with a Sunni-friendly government. It was a very complex thing. All that we have done is lost American lives, an American treasure. Nothing has been accomplished, and just about everybody hates us. In Syria, I'm there. I've talked to the people. In Iraq, I've been there. I've talked to the people. The Sunnis hate us. The Shia hate us. The Christians hate us. The secularists hate us. They smile when they take our checks. They smile when they take our guns. They smile when they take our food. But every single one of those groups absolutely hate and detest us for the chaos that we brought to those nations.
Well, let's jump to another more recent event that just happened. Of course, Fidel Castro died at 90 years old. And in a lot of the articles we've been looking at, William Murray, it seems like his legacy has been whitewashed by a lot in the media. And I don't even know if you didn't understand history, you'd think this was a good guy. Would you like to comment on that, what we're hearing about Castro?
Well, you know, in my book, Utopian Road to Hell, I covered quite a bit of the Cuban Revolution and Castro, as well as what happened in with Paul Pol Pot in Cambodia and the situation in many of these other imagined utopias, the slaughter in. Really why they failed, because the central planning just won't work. It just won't work because there's no check and balance on consumption, and that's a difficult economic model to get into, and a lot of the people in the United States don't understand. They don't understand why our medical care is not working. Well, you have to have some control on consumption. It has to be controlled by something. And when you set the prices so low that anybody can have anything they want, all you do is create such horrible shortages that nobody has anything, and there's money, no money to actually produce them. And that's what Castro did there. He was a mass murderer when he took over. I don't know how many people with firing squads. He seized all private property, no matter how small. The peasants that fought for him, that thought that they were going to get land, soon found out that all the land, instead of it being owned by the giant landowners and the big families, it was all going to be owned by the government, and they still were going to be working for somebody. All the foreign investment, all foreign-owned hotels, products, stores, all of that was seized as well. The economy was basically has been in a state of poverty ever since. There were cell phones when cell phones came out because dictatorships can't allow communication. That is a real problem for them to be able to communicate freely. So, I mean, it was a devastating situation. And am I a little bit shocked? Ball football players that own that get paychecks for $10 million plus a year are wearing Castro T-shirts, mm-hmm. and saying what a wonderful guy he was and what he did for education.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, all of this and prime ministers of countries. No, I'm not shocked, because all of those people want the same thing. They want central control. They want central planning. It is a dream. It is a utopian dream. They all still have. Hillary Clinton had the dream. And it just, it's fantasy thought. It just doesn't work.
Well, William, and we look at the tragic aftermath of regimes like the Soviet Union, Cuba, and Venezuela, and North Korea. This never works. You understand the Marxist mindset probably as well as anyone, because you were raised in it by your mother. Are these people just naive, or are they just full-blown Marxists who want control?
It isn't hard to explain. I refer to it again and again as magic thought, and people just look at me. It's been going on since the time of Plato, I could go through all these instances that has been tried, including in Chinese history and even the the landing of the pilgrims. The pilgrims, this was their first year, they tried this in community property, and it was so devastating. Half of them starved to death. They had to go back to private property. It just cannot function. And it isn't being naive. It is something different. It is it is like a religion. It's like a belief in something that is so strong that no matter how many times it fails, if failure is, no matter how many tens of millions of people die because of that philosophy, that people still believe that there's the dream can be obtained. Having this on earth where you have this central government able to magically supply all the needs of all the people. Notice, and I've said this before in your program, I didn't say once. I said needs. And who decides what those needs are? The same central planner that is supplying the needs. It is a mindset that is it really is like a religion. I've been there, I was raised in it, I saw it, I have been exposed to the people over and over again. I have been and it is, I hate to make a comparison, but it is like our belief in eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. They believe that that there can be an earthly salvation through of humanity and a creation of a utopia on earth through this central planning. They honestly believe this. It isn't being naive. It isn't being like full-blown Marxists that want to control people. It is something that they actually truly believe.
It sounds like they've been deceived, and like it's the great delusion, isn't it?
It is. And it isn't a matter of somebody like Castro coming along and selling it because or changing people's mind. It is absolutely shocking the number of people in the United States in this well-educated society that hold these beliefs from a very early age, regardless of whatever is happening. It's just, well, shouldn't everybody get a house? Shouldn't water be a right? Should medicine be a right? Shouldn't food be a right? Shouldn't we just have these things, whether we work or not? Isn't it a human right to be fed? Isn't it a human right to have water? Isn't it a human right to have clothing? And it is without ever doing anything to get those things.
No, they
honestly believe this can be done.
No. William, last question for you. I listened to some of the right-wing pundits, and the election of Donald Trump, my goodness, you know, a stake has been driven in the heart of the progressive Marxist movement in our nation. Progressivism's dead. Marxism's dead. Isn't this just naive thinking?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, the other side to them, it is a religion. And unfortunately, and I hope it doesn't happen this time, but what has happened in every other, including the Ronald Reagan election, is that whenever a conservative is elected to the presidency, basically things stay as they are. So the Democrats get control, they move it to the left, and then the Republicans come in and they hold it. And then the Democrats come in and they move it further down the scale, and then the Republicans come in and hold it. We have not had a Republican in the last century who has come into that office, or a Congress who has come into the office and actually altered the direction in the other direction. Every single one of them have merely frozen what the left has done when they came in and kept it there and have not moved it back in the other direction.
I tell you, let's hope it's different this time, but I'm not that optimistic. William, before we let you go, how can people support the wonderful work your organization is doing in the Middle East, particularly helping these families in this devastated area?
Well, we have two dedicated sites for that, christmasforrefugees.org and diapersforrefugees.org, and they can go there, they can see what we do. And tomorrow, by the way, is supposed to be, you know, we have Cyber Monday today. Tomorrow is supposed to be Giving Tuesday. Everywhere everybody has it up is hashtag Giving Tuesday, including us. And we are hoping and praying that we will get, you know, some internet support this year for the Christmas program, and particularly as we really expand it.
Well, and it's changing lives, and it's bringing people to Christ. So, folks, please pray. Prayerfully consider supporting this worthwhile cause and organization. William, thank you, brother. We will talk to you in about a month.
Thank you. God bless you, Mike.
God bless you. William Murray, Religious Freedom Coalition, a tireless fighter. And this man understands the Marxist mindset better than anyone. Well, in our third segment, we're going to share a very disturbing letter a Christian listener got from one of another Christian who's a Hillary Clinton supporter. But when we come back, the American Family Association has rated the top retailers and how they market to Christmas shoppers.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
Well, the American Family Association annually rates the top retailers and how they market to Christmas shoppers. And this year they've come out with their list, and they break them down as nice, marginal, and naughty. Dave, you want to kind of take us through some of the more prominent retailers here?
Sure. And I, 10 years ago, right here on this radio station, weekly, from between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I would update people on what I saw. In addition to the AFA website and what they saw, I would update people here locally and what I saw in the newspapers or the television ads, and when there's a lot of ways to dissect this and what they're doing, but what I did simply is, if companies are mentioning Christmas and saying Merry Christmas, which is I know to a lot of you it's not a big deal, you'll shop there anywhere, but if you really understand that this holiday is about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why would we knowingly support a company that tells their employees not to mention Christmas and is purposely is against what we believe? Why would we support them? Now, I'll just say that, and here's what AFA has. In fact, locally, I remember the biggest Hobby Lobby and Stein Gardens and Gifts, and I think Fleet Farm. Those are the three that are most vocal about even running Christmas ads about the meaning of Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think Stein did that. But so there are some, you know, companies that really are good. Now, according to the American Family Association, of course, their online store is one, but nice companies, Cracker Barrel, Hobby Lobby, Kirkland's, Lowe's, Michael's, Walmart, 1-800-Flowers.com, Ace Hardware, and these are in alphabetical order, Banana Republic, Bed Bath & Beyond, Dillard's, Dick's Sporting Goods, Dollar Tree, Hallmark. Now, this is interesting. I've got to stop here. Well, let me just mention, you know, Kmart, Marshall's, Menards, Pier 1, Rite Aid, Sam's Club, True Value,
Shields Sporting Goods.
Shields, Sears. I do want to mention something. Here's where this gets a little muddy.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to read Home Depot, who is completely anti-Christian, completely pro-LGBT, and other companies like, you know, well, Starbucks isn't on the nice list, but, you know, there could be companies that support Planned Parenthood that actually might make this nice list because they say Merry Christmas in their advertising.
Absolutely, Dave. Home Depot, as you said, has been a major supporter of the LGBT
movement. For years, Home Depot and Ford and Pepsi and McDonald's, Roseanne and I, this is just personally, you got to go with your conscience and what you decide to do. And some people say, well, you know, you start making decisions like that, you won't have anywhere to shop. Well, you know what? Little by little, maybe we won't. Maybe that's a good idea to make a present or spend time with a loved one at Christmas instead of giving them a gift that, you know, society tells us that people need, right?
Dave, that's such a great point. We go, well, where are we going to do our Christmas shopping? How about don't? How about?
Where did we get the idea that we are obligated to give gifts?
From the American consumerist and the American government and Wall Street that tells us love equals how much money you spend. You mentioned Home Depot. I want to point out another one that's on the nice list.
Never shop at Home Depot.
JCPenney. They were the first major retailer to actively market to the LGBT crowd. I remember the ads coming out in the papers years ago. So you've got a lot of them here that, again, I think the complexity of the situation, Dave, is how do we rate this? Because somebody says Merry Christmas? You know, they might just be saying Merry Christmas because they want your money.
Yes. You know, I mean, it could be a Muslim company
saying
that
Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, and they want to kill you, but they'll take your money. Just like William Murray was talking about, saying, hey, they'll smile when they take our food, our money, our guns, you know, these Middle East countries and these groups over there, but they want to kill you or they hate America, but they'll take your money. So this is a complicated subject, you guys, and if you have any thoughts, give us a call at 800-979-9010. You're probably going to spend money somewhere. We stopped giving gifts in our family years ago on Christmas. Well, we give gifts during other times of the year for different reasons and a lot of times for no reason. But we stopped giving, participating in this American commercialism, this idea of corporate Christmas. We just refuse it. We don't see it in the Bible. We believe in giving to missionaries, giving to friends who are in need. We've got a friend right now in Colorado going through a severe problem. Their 18-year-old daughter has had this immune system disease that's debilitating her. We believe in helping people like that, you know, friends in need. But if you want to shop, I'm not saying don't shop, but this is at least one company, or one organization, the American Family Association. This is at least one organization that is trying to raise awareness about what we've been talking about for How many years on this program, Mike?
Oh, six now. You know, Jane came in at comments at StandForTheTruth.com and echoing what you said, Dave. She said, we stopped giving Christmas gifts to our children and each other as husband and wife a long time ago. Instead, we pray as a family. We designate some good Christian organizations
Amen.
That can use our support.
Amen.
And then we write love letters to each other saying how much we mean to each other. I
yes.
love that.
Yes. Mike, we've got a phone call real quick. Let's go to the lines and see what our listeners have to say. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Terry.
Merry Christmas, Terry.
Same to you, and I just wanted to mention that the other day on Saturday after work, I stopped at the Dollar Tree in Green Bay, and not only did they say Merry Christmas, but they were playing Christian music, so it was really, really refreshing and nice to know that you could go shopping and hear something good on the radio as well.
Now, thank you, Terry. That's another good point.
So there's an organization that just isn't giving lip service to Mary. Thank you, yep. Thank you, Terry.
Right.
And Dollar
right.
Tree,
thanks,
Dollar
Terry.
Tree is on the good list. The marginal list, Amazon, Safeway, Walgreens, Whole Foods, Starbucks. Seriously, Starbucks CEO has spent millions and millions of dollars supporting homosexual marriage and the LGBT movement. So, seriously.
And Planned Parenthood, I
yeah.
believe. In.
And then our naughty list. Let's see. Barnes & Noble, Best Buy, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Foot Locker,
Gap.
No shock there. The Limited, Nordstrom, Office Depot and Office Max, PetSmart, Staples, Stein Mart, Super Value, and, of course, Victoria's Secret.
Wow, they're on the naughty list?
Wow.
The surprise,
and, you know,
surprise.
Victoria's Secret would probably say that's right where we want to
yes.
be, on the naughty list.
I do want to comment on her phone call mentioning Christmas music being played. I think she said Christian music.
Yes.
Now, there's a difference. There is a difference. We try very hard here at Q90FM at the radio station to program Christian Christmas music. There is a difference, meaning Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is not a Christmas song, nor is it a Christian song.
Yeah.
But it's played during the holidays. Why? Because it's a very non-offensive, neutral song that's just a fun, goofy song.
Yeah.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Jingle Bells. There's so many songs that are neutral, benign. Those aren't, though they may be, quote, Christmas songs, but make no mistake, they are not Christian songs. They have nothing to do, they don't mention the birth of Jesus Christ, the salvation we have because of the Son of God coming to earth to die for our sins. So make sure when you're listening to Christmas music, you're not just going along with culture and society and listening to anything just yeah. because it's, quote, seasonal.
No, and I think there is some decent, secular, if you will, Christmas music.
Yes,
I'll Be Home
yes,
for
yes.
Christmas, White Christmas by Bing Crosby. Nothing wrong with those whatsoever. But you're right, Dave, when these listen to secular stations, when they say, first of all, they call it holiday music.
Happy holidays.
Rarely. Now, I will say on occasion, a local station here that plays oldies will actually play a song or two that really points to Christ. But it's pretty
very
it's
rare.
Pretty rare.
And probably
rare.
By request. And by the way, I don't know why we can't hear Jingle Bells or, you know, Frosty or any of these in July. I mean, they're, you know.
Well, Frosty'd melt in July.
Did I say Frosty?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. you're right. You know,
yeah.
July.
So, now, a couple things before we go to break on this thing. Number one, again, folks, understand that businesses are in the business of making money. And I'm not anti-capitalist. I am all
right.
for them making
right.
a reasonable profit. So understand, when you see companies like Home Depot and JCPenney in particular on there, organizations that have supported anti-Christian values for many, many years, just understand again, these people meet in a room and they say, basically, how can we get a big slice of the Christmas, the holiday season pie? And so they are going to try to reach out to a broad constituency, if you will.
Yes.
And sometimes they're going to market themselves in a Christian way, but the values of the organization are not. The other thing, Dave, again, I challenge our listeners every year with this. How are you going to respond as a Christian, as a believer, when that clerk who's working part-time has been instructed to say, Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas?
Yes, it's not their fault.
It's not their fault. Are you going to yell at them and berate them? Or do you have a response prepared? I have my response prepared everywhere. Thank you. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, who we celebrate on Christmas Day, may he just capture your heart and bless you in wonderful ways. And I get a lot of smiles when I say that. So let's not be yelling at the clerks who are only doing...
Excellent point. I mean, we have to remember that they are doing what they are... Their jobs, which could say, Merry Christmas, there's a chance that you'd be written up or fired or sent home from a job. So in other companies, they'll scheme. Mike, you made an excellent point about capitalism. They hate Christians, but they love to get money from Christians. So how can we lure them into our stores, right? So you've got to use discernment, pray for wisdom, and really how God wants you to celebrate His Son. It should be like Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
It should be an all-year-round thing, really, and we've got wrapped up into this seasonal thing. Now, I know there's a lot of activities and festivities that go along with Christmas, and I love that. The spirit of Christmas, the spirit about, because it's the Holy Spirit.
And Dave, I love what you talked about and what Jane talked about when she emailed. Maybe we can start a movement here to say, you know what, instead of spending money on each other for things we don't need, why don't we find good, solid Christian organizations out there, perhaps, that are really reaching people with the gospel internationally? Yes. William Murray's organization, Elijah Abraham, others. Let's give the money where it's really going to make a profound, eternal impact on the souls of men, instead of just buying each other sweaters or what do dads always get? Ties?
Yeah, socks.
Ties and socks.
But make an eternal difference. Yeah. Remember, friends, yes, we are celebrating Christmas, and I know it's an escape in a way. It is an escape from the realities of what's happening in our world, in our country, in our culture. But let's remember to keep, let's try to cultivate that eternal perspective. And remember why we're celebrating, and I know it sounds like just a quaint reminder that we try to give all month long into December, but it's important. It's important to remind our friends, hey, it's not about the activity, it's not about the money or the gifts or whatever. You know what bugs me? The car commercials, Mike. The car commercial with the red bow on top. we're gonna give a car I'm just going to say it. I hate jewelry commercials because I would love to give my wife jewelry if I were able to afford it. I would love to. But I understand what it does to other men. It makes them feel guilty. It makes them feel bad for not being able to afford it. She understands. We have a good understanding when it comes to Christmas gifts and those kind of things like jewelry. But these commercials, and they're showing these rocks that are pretty big for a Christmas gift.
Well, you know, Dave, the message is if you love your wife, you'll give her a Lexus or you'll give her a huge diamond ring.
That's an excellent point, Mike. They associate giving these gifts with love, and that leads to obligation. And then it leads to a lot of men feeling like, well, I better put this on my credit card because I can't afford it.
Oh. When we come back, could liberal judges and a corrupt media steal the election? And also, I want to share an email I got from a listener last week about the anger of many of Hillary Clinton's supporters.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupwiththetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Well, Dave, I'm going to tie in Thanksgiving with the possibility of the election being overturned here. Let's see how this goes.
Wow.
You know, it was really interesting. I talked to a lot of people over the last several days at church, friends I have. I even got into social media and did this. And I just said to them, what's your Thanksgiving Day dinner like, coming off this really, really rough presidential election and progressives, many progressives out there just losing their minds. They can't believe that the media lied to them that Hillary Clinton had this election in the bag, and it turns out she lost. And it was interesting. You know, some have told me their children even refused to come over because they were angry at their parents for supporting Donald Trump.
Oh, my goodness.
Talked to two couples who actually said that. My children said, we're not coming over, and we're not bringing our children. Let me cover the other two, and then we'll get to our phone lines. Some have told me that arguments broke out over dinner, over politics. And some told me, hey, there were no arguments, but boy, you could just feel the tension. So let's get to our phone lines,
sure.
We'll finish this. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth. Who is this, please?
Hi, it's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Just two comments. One, with the whole buying stuff, you don't have to buy from big box stores. We, like if my son needs a sweater, There's a little shop downtown that he's got different things that would lead you to believe that he's a Christian, you know, on his walls and stuff. So you can do that. What we do for our big family things, because they're all out in California, is I just make a bunch of cookies, and we get a bunch of stuff from Wisconsin that you can't get in California, mm-hmm. like cheese and stuff like that, and we go that way.
Yeah, yeah, that's an excellent idea. Everyone loves Wisconsin cheese.
Absolutely. And for the little kids, you know, if you told them, well, you can't get your little toy, your little teddy bear, or whatever you want, because that's a bad store, that's just going to make them mad. And to me, that's just going to turn them off. If they're a certain age of Christianity, they're like, hey, those Christians are really stupid. Because not because they didn't get my toy, but like, hey, well, you know, we buy stuff here and we don't see a problem with it. You've got to have them at be on board at a certain part to have them get that and not just be really, really mad.
Yeah, so you need to explain it to them you know, why you're shopping or where
Susan,
you're
shopping. Susan, great point, though. Thank you so much for the call. And again, I think it feeds in, Dave, how you know, Wall Street and the businesses, they just put a guilt trip on you.
Yeah. Thanks, Susan. Merry Christmas.
Before we finish our article, Michelle came in and said, although Barnes & Noble made the naughty list, I must say that on Black Friday, the Appleton location was playing traditional Christian music. In fact, the name of Jesus was heard more than once in the lyrics, and the volume was actually quite loud. I sought out the manager and expressed my appreciation for playing real Christmas music. So thank you, Michelle. Again, just an indication here, this is a more complex issue than we make it up
to. It sure is, Mike. And there are some Christians working for these anti-Christian companies, and some of them are renegades, Mike. Some of them, like, you know, it could be the manager that's saying, hey, you know, we're just going to play Christmas music that has a Christian theme and just let our listeners enjoy it. And then maybe they'll get a couple complaints and then they'll get in trouble. But some managers will do that and they'll take a risk to do that. So
they will,
we know they're out there. So pray for Christians who are employees at some of these companies who really frown upon the Christmas holiday.
So we shared a little bit about some of the families I talked to and how this was such a stressful Thanksgiving Day dinner for many. I want to share an email I got from a listener last week, and I'm sharing this. I'm taking the names out, but I'm sharing it with her permission. Her husband, she said, my husband's cousin always puts out Democratic campaign signs, votes Democrat. His wife called me this morning, and I'm deeply saddened. She said, I didn't think this election would touch me so personally, but now it has. And this lady left a message on our listener's phone that says, hi. Now, this woman has been going through some health issues, and our Christian listener has been trying to help her and encourage her. Well, here's the message she got from the lady she's been trying to help. Hi, I know you stopped here a couple of times, but I'm not ready to see you or have a visit from you. I'm still really upset with all the people who supported Trump and voted for Trump. I understand everybody has a right to vote for whoever they want, but my feeling is it wasn't a Democrat, it wasn't a Republican. He's an awful man who was full of hate. I've decided that anyone who supported them is not someone that I want to speak to with now or have in my life at this point, because I question their moral compass and their moral decision making on who they trust and believe in. Okay, let's just stop here for a minute. I think people have a right to question Donald Trump's morality based on his past life, based on some of the things he said. Fine, question it. But gee, this person doesn't question Hillary Clinton's morality on marriage and abortion. Not at all. You know what? And you know what? Take all of the bad things Donald Trump has said and done, and let's just assume for a minute he still believes all those things. Number one, shame on him. Number two, at least the man believes in life in the womb. Hmm. And, you know, really, what is worse, saying something bad about women, which he's done, and I'm not defending it, is that worse than believing a baby is property that can be murdered in the womb? The selective morality of progressives, never, especially those who call themselves Christians, never ceases to amaze me. And I think of this email that our listener got, and I think, Dave, of this recount of the presidential election now happening in Wisconsin and reports that Pennsylvania and Michigan are next. I would not underestimate the progressive mindset nor a corrupt media into making something out of this recount that is not there. We know We know for a fact that in many big liberal cities like Philadelphia and Chicago, that there has been massive voter fraud for progressives in the past. In the 2012 presidential election, six whole counties in Pennsylvania and Ohio, in big cities, did not register one vote for Mitt Romney. Not one. Seriously?
Yeah.
We know.
And there was no follow-up on that,
no.
Was there?
No.
Which, that's one of the most disappointing things to me.
Documented cases of dead people voting in Chicago over and over and over. Documented cases of 120% voter turnout in liberal places. Documented cases in the recall of Governor Scott Walker here in Wisconsin of union people before ID was necessary at the polls being bussed in from Illinois and Michigan voting against Walker. So the hypocrisy of morality in the mindset of progressives, particularly those who call themselves Christians. And also, I agree with William Murray. I think all things being fair, this recall will go nowhere. But I tell you what, don't put it past the progressives, because they're losing their minds over losing the election, and don't put it past the media to drum up a story here where there is none. We've seen them do that over and over and over. And Dave, I don't know if the nation can take another 2000 right now, another contested election. And I think this time, if it happens, and all of a sudden this election is turned into turmoil, and somehow Donald Trump's election is taken away from him, I don't think conservative Americans are going to stand for it. I think you're going to see a backlash like you've never seen.
Yeah, I think there will be some major problems, and I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. It's interesting that elections can divide us spiritually, even as a church. You mentioned that Thanksgiving story, and I have a friend from Los Angeles. And who among us who speaks the truth in our conservative, Christians who believe the Bible is inerrant, who has not been unfriended by someone on Facebook? I've never unfriended anybody. I always want to have a conversation with them. I had to block a few people, but I told them, I've warned them a couple times in advance. And then I would go and send a private message and say, maybe you didn't see the warning I put on there. Just if you continue using this language or being critical or whatever they were saying, because you have to say quite a bit or use profanities for me to say anything. Because I like a good exchange. I don't mind people that disagree with me. In fact, I want to be challenged. But there comes a point where you have to say, all right, we've got to, I can't have you on my page anymore, because then they're getting other people upset. Then they start attacking other friends that you have. So I have been unfriended. But a friend of mine from L.A. said when I lived in Los Angeles, I had a number of friends that were into what they called the emergent church. He said at the time, I knew very little about the concept. And he mentioned Rob Bell books. And he said it became obvious what was wrong and missing in Bell's teachings. But he said this one good friend of his, really good friend over the past several years, just recently, a friend of his just pointed out that no, I'm this guy's not your friend anymore on Facebook. And my friend checks and goes, yeah, oh, you're right. I can't believe he did that, because he would always post things on his wall, Doug's wall, my friend. But if Doug would maybe on a rare occasion put any sort of disagreement or dissent on his, you know, comment on his wall, he would get very upset. So they want it one way, Mike, and it's the one way tolerance, which really is intolerance.
Yes, David, it absolutely is. They put a nice little bowl of tolerance on this stuff, but their definition of tolerance is, I'll be tolerant with you if you agree with me. And you know what? Flat out, folks, progressive Christians and progressives cannot win on ideology and facts and truth. They have to appeal to emotion. You said something very, very important a minute ago. You talked about your friend who was reading Rob Bell, and he said he saw teachings that were, quote, wrong or missing. And here's where we need to be smart when we look at people like Rob Bell. They're smart enough where often they won't say anything blatantly wrong, but things are missing. Things are missing in the teaching.
There's ambiguity as opposed to truth.
Yeah. You know, yesterday, one of our elders at church, we were just talking about all this stuff, and we got a great presentation on the gospel yesterday by our pastor out of the book of Acts, chapter 19. And this friend mentioned to me, he said, yeah, you look at all these football games. He said the guy always holds up the John 3:16 sign. They never have verses 18 and 19 on there. You know, John 3:16, yeah. God so loved the world, he said, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but rather to save it. But you look at verses 18 and 19, and we get truth that those, everyone who does not believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is already condemned. Hmm. So you've got to look at these quote-unquote biblical teachers like Bell and McLaren and Campolo and a lot of these. And, folks, you got to look beyond just what they say wrong. You have to look at what they don't say at all. And we're going to be sharing a lot of that in 2017 as we really point out a lot of error that's infiltrating the church and leading a lot of people astray. But, you know, Dave, it's interesting. So many, I would say the majority of Christians I talked to had a very stressful Thanksgiving mm-hmm. because of this election. And you know what? I can just tell you this, when Barack Obama won in 2008, man, I wasn't happy. I don't like what the man stands for ideologically or spiritually, but I didn't hate my relatives because of it. I did not talk to them because of it. But, you know, again, tolerance is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Yeah, I lost, three or four Christian friends. One, a former roommate from California before I was married. Another, just a very good friend, another dear friend from my wedding party, and then, you know, a couple other friends from church because of the emergent church, the liberal Christianity you see in some people that would probably lean, well, not lean, they would be definitely supportive of the Christian left, like the McLarens and like the Jim Wallaces. So it's apostasy. It's a departure from the truth. But these people, I didn't unfriend them, but they cut off... What's the cutoff fellowship, or what do you call it? Break fellowship with you, because they simply ask them questions, Mike. And before I even understood the concept, it's so powerful about asking questions. I just said, please explain to me how you defend your stances on these two or three issues mm-hmm. when it comes to politics, and where point to me in the Word of God where I can go look that up so I can understand it. They couldn't, and they got defensive, and they said, finally, I've had enough. They cut me off from that. It's sad that it has to come to that, but I respect their wishes.
You know, really, when a Christian professes something that is blatantly against the Word of God, it's very easy in a non-threatening way to confront them with the Scriptures. And then you find out what their true heart is. Mm-hmm. So if you say A and the Word of God says B, which do you believe? Simple question. Yeah. Well, no, I believe the Word of God. Well, the Word of God just refuted what you state and what you believe. So we're going to be talking a lot about that in future shows, because, Dave, I'll tell you, the deception that's creeping into the church, when it's not addressed, it's allowed to grow. And so we need to learn how to address it in love and in truth. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show, tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the show, but the discussion is just beginning. More info on today's topics and much more can be found on standupforthetruth.com. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Well, tomorrow we're joined by Pastor Randy White. We're going to look at some deceptions creeping into the church and how we confront them. Wednesday, Pastor Carl Gallup. So we're going to take a look at biblical prophecy. Carl's written a new book, When the Lion Roars, and it's his belief we are living in the most prophetic times since mm-hmm. Jesus walked the earth. So we're going to talk about that. And then Thursday, Julaine Appling checks in with us. And then Friday, Dr. Andy Woods. Again, we look at his book, The Coming Middle East Meltdown. So thank you for joining us today. Hope the show edified you. Hope it brought you a little closer to God. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth, have a blessed day. Be bold, strong, and always unashamed of the complete gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.